Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all you can weigh in. Let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. And of course, you know you can give us a ring right here at Current Sports by calling 517-355-9527. And how have we been doing so far? You want to see how, what have you guys think about the show so far? I encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, don't like, and pose some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, or email me. We want to hear what's on your mind, guys. And the entire sports world is talking about one man today. Ryan Braun. Yes, he is the first of many projected to fall victim to this entire biogenesis investigation in the world of baseball. And it seems as though the use of PEDs, not only in the game of baseball, but in sports period, are never going to end. The Current Sports team and I will be dissecting this story right here on the show. And we encourage you to give us a call right after the first break, 517-355-9527. Let us know your thoughts on Braun and steroids in the world of sports. We have also put on our Current Sports webpage on facebook.com/currentsports the question concerning Braun and steroid use in sports. So let your voice be heard on that. We have comments rolling in as we speak, which we will read right here live on the show. And we encourage you all to weigh in on this really, truly stunning and saddening story. Now, in the meantime, on a much lighter note, we invite a guest on today's show that will significantly, improve your game out there on the putting green and golf in general. Now, after completing his PhD in psychology in 1979, he began bringing his insights in mindful awareness to golf and business. Now, since then, he has become a renowned and sought-after instructor of the mental game, not only in golf, but business as well. He has a book out entitled, How to Make Every Putt the Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game. Dr. Joseph Parent, welcome to Current Sports.
Thanks, Al. Great to be on the show.
Glad to have you. Now, Joe, you got your PhD in psychology. How and when did you start using that degree as a way to aid you, not only in the business of just, you know, of academia, but in the game of golf as well?
Well, I really did not go into academia. I wanted to go into coaching.
Right.
And I contacted a friend of mine who was a golf instructor. We got together and played some golf, and he said, tell me how I use my to use my mind better on the golf course. And I said, while we're doing that, you can tell me how to use my swing better on the golf course. So we became a team and developed the programs that led to my first book, which came out a little over 10 years ago and thankfully is still a popular seller, bestseller, and that's Zen Golf, Mastering the Mental Game. And then I focused on putting, and you know, the closer to the hole you get, the more the mental game shows up. Because, you know, it takes a lot of talent to swing a club in a way that consistently puts the ball in the fairway at a good distance. But it doesn't take that much physical skill to move the little blade of a putter back and forth a few inches. Pretty much anybody can do that.
Yeah.
So really the issue is the mental game, and that's what I teach. And I'm excited about the reception of the new book, How to Make Every Putt.
Right. I'm definitely excited to read it because my putting game definitely needs some work, Joe. Now, golf, there's no question that it is one of the toughest sports to play because it is so mental. Now, when did you begin to realize that you had sort of a talent for mentally working around the game of golf?
Well, the first clinic that my friend and I did, he invited me, and I said, well, what do you want me to teach? And he said, well, the things we've been talking about, visualization, routine, working with breathing. And did a clinic with some of his players, and they came back the next week saying this was the best thing since sliced bread.
Mm-hmm.
So that really propelled me on my program, because I've done a lot of work with stress management and performance in business, getting the most out of your talent in business. And so to be able to do that for golf, which is my passion, that was a huge bonus. And I've had great good fortune and been able to help both a man and a woman to number one in the world. I worked with Vijay Singh and helped him get to number one, and I worked with Christy Kerr and helped her get to number one in the world. So it really vindicated the power of mental game coaching that helps players get over the top and helps, you know, corporate executives get over the top too. So I love to do executive coaching as well.
Right. Now, Joe, I was just about to ask you that because you've worked with everyone from, as you said, PGA Tour pros like Vijay, David Toms, like you said, Christy Kerr, Julie Inkster, to celebrities like Ray Romano from Everybody Loves Raymond. Gotta love Ray. Hall of Fame running back Marcus Allen, famed boxer Oscar De La Hoya. Who was the coolest person to work with, Joe?
Well, you know, I think I had the most fun with Ray. And watching him try to make the cut at Pebble Beach, we even did a film about that, about him making the cut. And,
right.
And you know, he was so nice, he actually read and held up the Zen Golf book on his Everybody Loves Raymond show.
Oh,
and
really?
So, yes, for about 2 minutes. He was there, and, you know, he'd always read in bed. So I said, Ray, you're reading golf magazines. You know, I was just kind of teasing him. How about reading Zen Golf? He said, sure. So I have it recorded. There's an episode where the first couple of minutes he's in bed, you know, reading Zen Golf. So it's a very recognizable cover, the blue sky with white clouds cover. So that's been a lot of fun. And I just want to let people know they can get in touch with me at zengolf.com. And what's really fun now in the modern technology age, I do a lot of my lessons by Skype.
Are you really?
And FaceTime, video conferencing. I've done lessons to Japan, Australia, Norway, Scotland, South Africa, all over the world. It's really fun.
Wow, through
Skype. It's like
being
there in the same room.
That's unbelievable. So, I mean, how do you kind of mentor individuals in the game of golf if you're not having one-on-one contact with them? Do they kind of just look at you? Kind of just look at their swing through the screen and kind of critique it, or that way?
I have transformed people's games without ever seeing them swing.
Wow!
Because it's the mental game.
It's the mental game, right?
It's the mental game, and what I do is I this is what I do for business as well. I help people get out of their own way and get the most out of their abilities. Because I don't teach the swing. I mean, I'm familiar enough with it that I can notice some things if I'm with a player. But really what I'm talking about is letting them get the most out of the swing they already have. And that's what the mental game, that's what Zen Golf is all about. And a lot of what How to Make Every Putt is about.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us, we are talking with Dr. Joseph Parrott. He has a book out entitled How to Make Every Putt, The Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game. Now, let's dig right into this, Joe. If you look at when you're out there critiquing individuals and trying to, you know, like you said, allow them to get out of their way to get the most out of their game, what would you say is the most common mistake that golfers make out there on the course mentally?
Okay, the number one interference. And this applies to golf, it applies especially to putting, it applies to every sport, and in fact it applies to everything in life. Getting ahead of yourself, worrying about how the shot, how the project, whatever it is going to turn out, takes you out of the present and into the future. Mm-hmm. And my friend likes to, we have a great saying, it's the thing that you have on a raffle ticket. You know what it says on a raffle ticket?
What's that?
You must be present to win.
Very true.
So I want to help people stay in the present, not bring along the past and be fretting about the last hole, you know, the putt that they missed on the last hole, and have it influence the one they're playing now. And I don't want them thinking about the getting ahead, because the whole principle is take care of your process, and the results take care of themselves.
Gotcha. So you feel as though a lot of individuals out there who play the game, including myself, I will say I'm always thinking about the next shot after I hit my current shot, my present shot. So you think a lot of individuals got there, just get ahead of themselves when we're out there on the course.
The first thing that that I started working with VJ about was worrying about the bad places that the ball might end up. Well, that's getting ahead of yourself and worrying about the outcome instead of focusing on the process. So the key principle in how to make every putt is you can't control what's going to happen after the ball leaves the putter face, right?
Right.
Here's the deal. You're running a relay race. It's you and another guy. You're running the first leg, and you're going to hand off the baton. What can you do to help the team win? Run as fast as you can and make a good handoff. Now, if you're looking at the finish line while you're trying to hand off the baton, is that going to help the team?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Your job is to make a good handoff. After that, do you give the guy a shove to help him along? No. You let him run. And after that, all you can do is root for him. It's the same thing in putting. You guess the best line that you can and aim the putter. You get the best feel for the speed you can. You put as good a roll on it as you can. And after that, all you can do is root for it. So if you hit it on your line at the pace you wanted with a good roll off the sweet spot of the putter, that's, for me, the definition of making a putt. You made your putt.
Right.
And the book starts with a quote from Jack Nicklaus. Somebody said, well, what about this putt that you missed on the last hole of such and such a tournament? He said, I didn't miss the putt. I made the putt. The ball missed the hole.
Right.
And that's the key separation.
Right.
If you build your confidence on your execution, on your process, and how well you can get the ball started, that's really your only job in putting. And it's really your only job in the rest of the game, too. You get the ball started, and after that, let what happens happen.
I am taking notes as we speak, Joseph. That's such a great message. Now, when you worked with VJ, like I said, he was at one time the top golfer, top-ranked golfer in the world. Do you still contact VJ, and does he still hit you up for tips?
You know, whenever I'm out on the tour, I don't go out much anymore. I did that about 10 years ago about 5 or 6 years. And I enjoy being in Southern California, and if people need to see me, they come to me mostly. And as I said, now I work with people all over the world by Skype and FaceTime,
right.
So video conferencing. So I saw VJ earlier this year, and we had a little chat, and it's always great to see him and be with him. And the thing that I love about the work that I do is people don't become dependent on me. They learn the principles, and then they can apply them themselves.
Right.
So I don't have people that need to see me every week or see me, every month and for the rest of their lives. They
right.
come and do, if people come and see me, maybe they'll come for a day and a half. And that's really all they need. And sometimes I hear from people a couple of years later and we have a follow-up. But most of the time they get what they need, and if they understand the principles, it's something you can do yourself. That's what I love about Zen Golf and about teaching it. I'm giving something to people that they can then do themselves, that they don't need me watching for them to be able to accomplish it.
Oh, boy. Dr. Joseph Perrin, he has a book out in town, How to Make Every Putt the Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game. So when people read this book, and of course your other books as well, Joe, about putting and Zen Golf, and what do you want them, what's the biggest message you want them to take away from your book that really doesn't concern the game of golf, but just life in general?
Well, the saying that golf and life are very similar, it's just golf's a little more complicated. That's a joke. So the idea is that one thing I love to say is people say, if only I played better, I'd enjoy the game more. It's actually the other way around. If you enjoyed the game more, you'd play better. So the biggest message that I want to give them is you don't have to get something more that you don't have as far as skills and abilities. The first thing to do is get the most out of what you already have. So there's one message in golf and in life and in any sport. And the second is, if you get out of your own way and don't try so hard to get out of it what you're trying to, but just purely pay attention to the process, you'll have the most success. And for I work a lot with juniors, and how about not being so hard on yourself?
Right.
That's really what I want to get people to understand. They can give themselves a break. You know, I do an exercise where I say, imagine you're telling your best friend who really screwed up, you know, hey, that's okay, everybody makes mistakes. And I said, now try to tell yourself that really hard, much harder.
Very hard.
Very hard. So treat yourself, I have a saying, it's your evil caddy that you bring around with you who gives you a hard time on every shot.
Right.
So fire your evil caddy and be your own best friend. And if people would not be so hard on themselves and give themselves a break, and the kindness that they can direct towards themselves, they then can direct more kindness towards others. And that's really the message that I'm trying to get across, that it's not about being a better golfer. It's about being a better person.
Well, that message just hit home for me, Joe, because I tell you what, when I'm out there on the golf course and I hit a bad shot, I carry that evil caddy with me everywhere I go. Oh, man, it's bad. It's bad. So I'm definitely going to work on it.
You can fire your evil caddy. The shot's over.
Right.
You know, just learn from it and move on.
And let's move on.
And that's what we can do in life. And, you know, I talk a lot about that. My website, zengolf.com,
mm-hmm.
Tells you all about my executive coaching, life coaching, and golf coaching. And please come and see it and make use of the resources. Whether we do a lesson or not, I wish for everybody to enjoy themselves more on the golf course and in their lives.
That's a great message. Now, Joe, I understand understandably so, keep up with the game of golf. And looking at the golfers that are out there right now in today's game, who do you consider to be the best in the game right now?
Well, how can you not consider Phil to be the best in the game right now?
He's pretty good, right?
With what he did close on the U.S. Open, and I really like that, you know, I listened to his interviews, and here's what he said, and I think this is a good message for everybody. He said, I have an article I'm working on called Dealing with Devastating Defeats, and how he dealt with the defeat at the U.S. Open. His sixth runner-up, gotta be, he said he can't remember a time when he was a whole lot lower, and he could have gone south, and he could have said, you know what, I give. I'm just never going to accomplish what I need to, you know, and kind of beat up on himself and gotten indulged in negative thinking.
Yeah.
But instead he said, you know what, I got to look at this. I played great. I came within a shot or two of winning the Open Championship. I hit the ball great. I putted really well. I have a little more work on my game. I can get over the top. And so he used it as an inspiration to work harder rather than get down on himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's so
huge.
True. So
that's
true.
That's huge. And he said that, and he said, and it paid off, both winning both the Scottish Open and the Open Championship.
Yeah, Phil is certainly special right now, I tell you that. And like you said, I mean, after that U.S. Open defeat, and, you know, Phil, you know, has taken this rap for so long about, you know, not closing out in crucial moments, I guess, when he's within a shot. You know, we've seen Phil collapse in the past. But like you said, the way he's responded since that loss and went to the Scottish Open and won and then comes from five strokes back to win, he's something else. Now, another man that you know I got to bring up is Tiger Woods. Joe, when you look at Tiger Woods and look at his career and how special he's been, and to look at him now, he hasn't won a major since 2008. It's been 5 years. Do you think Tiger's legacy is dwindling a bit with this major drought that he is currently on? And what's Tiger's problem right now that you're seeing?
Okay, well, we have to remember that the standards we're measuring Tiger by are perfection in just about every aspect of the game.
Right.
And so it's not really fair to expect him to continue to be perfect in every aspect of the game for his entire career. Clearly, the whole scandal and the injuries combined took a devastating toll. I think partly on his mental game. But he's coming back from that. And in his interview, he said, hey, it's not like I lost my card and I'm trying to get back on tour. He has contended in about half of the majors that he's been in since, you know, since the scandal, and since he took a year off because of injuries.
Right.
So somebody asked me, well, has he lost the ability to catch the other players from behind? No, he never had that ability. Mm. He won all of his majors from leading, from being in front.
Exactly.
Now,
right.
What keeps you, what enables you to win when you're in front? You don't drop shots. And he was the best at recovering. Mm-hmm. Recovering from a bad drive, he hit miraculous shots that are, it's a whole, you know, a huge highlight reel. Mm-hmm. Around the greens, he would hole out from bunkers. He would put them within inches. His putting was the best ever at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, I think he went 527, you know, holes without a three putt.
Right.
So, or without missing from inside 5 feet or something.
That's
crazy
unbelievable.
Like that.
That's unbelievable.
Exactly. Now, that has, that he's not up to that level at this point. So what happens is when he makes a mistake, he doesn't recover at the same level that he did. And in fact, if you look at the Open Championship, if he'd gotten up and down five more times, he's tied for the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That was what his brilliance was. He was never that good off. You know, he was always long, but he was never that straight off the tee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
His greens in regulation, he was incredible because he could hit the green from just about anywhere.
Yeah.
But when he missed the green, he always got up and down. I remember that there was one story when he was a kid. He missed. He only hit two greens, and he shot one under. Okay, well, how do you do that? You get up and down from everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
And that's what he hasn't been doing as well in the last few majors.
So looking at Tiger, Joe, what advice would you give Tiger Woods if he was right here, right in front of your face, and he's asking you?
Short game and putting. Spend more time on it. And his big thing on putting that he's complained about is having trouble gauging the speed. So I would suggest that he works with a lot of the drills that I have to work on speed. There's a whole section in How to Make Every Putt on learning to get better at judging the pace of the greens. And that's what he really complained about.
Dr. Joseph Parent, unbelievable guy. How to Make Every Putt, the secret to winning golf's game within the game. Dr. Joseph Parent, how can people get your book?
Well, I would like them to go to zengolf.com, and they can get my original Zen Golf, Mastering the Mental Game, and the new book, How to Make Every Putt. And it's available at bookstores. Both books are available at bookstores and online booksellers everywhere.
There you have it. Dr. Joseph Parent, thanks so much for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Al. I look forward to getting on again sometime. Let's talk about, maybe after the PGA we can chat again.
Let's do it. I'm booking you right now.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. All right. When we return to current sports, we'll dive into our current sports section of the show. I want to remind you all, we will be taking your calls right after the break. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics, including this Ryan Braun story that has just taken not only the sports world, but the news world, culture, just by storm. Steroids, I tell you. All right, stay tuned. More current sports is next.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, we'll talk with Pete Cashmore, CEO of the tech news website Mashable.
We're in the middle of this information revolution. It's kind of like the Industrial Revolution. You know, every 100 years or so, you get this massive wave that comes through and changes absolutely everything.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the latest news concerning the good people of Michigan. I want to remind you all that we're taking your calls right now, 517-355-9527. Before we talk about Ryan Braun, just want to note quickly that MSU has confirmed that walk-on wide receiver A.J. Troup is out for the season after having a knee surgery today. Significant loss for Michigan State on offense for him. He's never really been able to get back to full health. But A.J. Troup, he's out for the season after having season-ending knee surgery today. All right, Ryan Braun. This is the story everyone is talking about. Major League Baseball has suspended Milwaukee Brewers slugger Ryan Braun without pay for the remainder of the 2013 season. Braun will not contest the suspension, which was meted out for violations of the Basic Agreement and its Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program, according to a statement by the MLB. He says, quote, "As I have acknowledged in the past, I am not perfect. I realize now that I have made some mistakes. I am willing to accept the consequences of those actions. This situation has taken a toll on me and my entire family, and it has been a distraction to my teammates and the Brewers organization." He says, "I am grateful for the support I have received from players, ownership, and the fans in Milwaukee and around the country. Finally, I wish to apologize to anyone that I may have disappointed, all of the baseball fans, especially those in Milwaukee, the great Brewers organization, and my teammates. I am glad to have this matter behind me once and for all, and I cannot wait to get back to the game I love." Well, I tell you what, a few weeks or a few months or a few years ago, Braun was singing a different tune.
"I will continue to take the high road because that's who I am, and that's the way that I've lived my life. We won because the truth is on my side. The truth is always relevant, and at the end of the day, the truth prevailed. I'm a victim of a process that completely broke down and failed in the way that it was applied to me in this case. As players, we're held to a standard of 100% perfection regarding the program, and everybody else associated with that program should be held to the same standard. We're a part of a process where you're 100% guilty until proven innocent. It's opposite of the American judicial system. This is not an innocent until proven guilty situation. So if we're held to that standard, it's only fair that everybody else is held to that exact same standard. With what's at stake, this is my livelihood, this is my integrity, this is my character, this is everything I've ever worked for in my life being called into question. We need to make sure that we get it right. If you're going to be in a position where you're 100% guilty until proven innocent, you can't mess up."
Hey, Braun, you're guilty, brother. That is just a total load of crap. I tell you what, because it's I can go on and on with the quotes, guys. Of course, we're talking about Ryan Braun, a man who was just found out and you know, that he was been using PEDs throughout his entire career. He's been linked with this whole biogenesis investigation in Major League Baseball, was found that he was using these drugs and has been suspended for the entire season. Now, we just played a clip of Braun, who, you know, he has so many "I am innocent" quotes. And I am also joined by my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, on this. But Ryan Braun, he has so many quotes where he was just vehemently denying any time PED use was brought up. I mean, I can go on. December 2011, quote, "This is all BS. I am completely innocent." Then I can go on some more. February 2012, quote, "I truly believe in my heart and I would bet my life, that this substance never entered my body at any point." I go on and on. February 2012, quote, "There are a lot of haters, a lot of people who doubted me, and a lot of people who continue to doubt me." We'll go to February, again, this is all February 2012. Quote, "When you know you're innocent of something, it's extremely difficult to have to prove it when you're in a process where you're 100% guilty until proven innocent." I mean, guys, this is just ridiculous. And then this comes out. First of all, what were your reactions upon hearing this redonkulous story?
Just like shaking your head and just being like, what a load, like you said, a big load of crap. And yeah, this is just, you know, now he comes out in the comments, but he doesn't say anything about the guy he threw under the bus. That clip we just played where he's just completely okay with putting all the blame, deflecting any blame or responsibility and putting it on the people who handled the tests, Dino Lorenzi Jr.
Yeah.
You know, that poor guy. he probably lost his career at that point, you know, because he got embroiled in this scandal. And now it just turns out, oh, wait, you know, Brian Braun, you know, was just a liar and making a fool out of everybody else. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, when I first heard it, I thought maybe, oh, he accidentally took it. Maybe he wasn't aware that he took PEDs. Maybe it was injected in by accident. Maybe it was just a coincidence.
So you believed him.
Now, is this the original time when he came out, or are you talking about
today? Well, I'm talking about when he appealed it at first.
Okay.
Because when he appealed it, he never said that he never took it. He just said he was an innocent man, whether he didn't know he took them or it was somewhere in this biogenesis lab that it was accidentally injected in him without him knowing. Mm-hmm. But now, with the test, it proves that, with the suspension, that he's guilty of something. We don't know the extent yet, but he's guilty of PEDs. So we know from the standpoint that, hey, PEDs have never entered my body, I swear on my life, we know that was a lie.
Total lie.
But whether he was innocently injected with PEDs, we don't know the extent.
I tell you what, Ryan Braun, you know, when I look at this story too, I kind of relate it to Lance Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
When Lance was going through his situation. Because Lance Armstrong was a guy throughout his career, whenever you would bring up the possibility of him being juiced up and using steroids throughout his career, totally denied it, just like Braun. You got to be crazy. I would never do that. Then years go on and on. Then it comes out, and had to sit down with Oprah, and everything comes out. And, you know, one thing that really gets under my skin is that, you know, these individuals, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They know they're taking these drugs. They're out there denying it to the public, but behind closed doors, they know what they're doing. And then once stuff hits the fan, all of a sudden they come out and they act like they've been the victim. If you look at Brian Braun's quote, he says, quote, "This situation has taken a toll on me and my entire family, and it has been a distraction to my teammates and the Brewers organization." He's talking as if he has been victimized in this whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, what? Are you serious?
Like, oh, I got caught cheating. Woe is me.
Yeah, woe is me. Exactly.
Yeah,
feel sorry for me.
Yeah, pretty
much. That is the biggest load of crap I've ever heard of in my life, and it really upsets me because athletes feel as though they can just, you know, shine this money around, especially when it comes to individuals who accuse them of this and they start denying it. I mean, if you look at Lance, too, because Lance was really a total jerk to anyone, anyone who brought up this situation and would really just go at him and hammer him. And now, of course, you know, after when he did that interview with Oprah, he regrets, you know, the entire situation about, you know, how he victimized people. But of course he is now, because now everything is out there.
Yep.
You're guilty. You're a guilty man. But it just upsets me when athletes, they know it. They know they're doing it. They go out there and deny it, and then once it comes out, they act like, "Oh, please feel sorry for me. This is taking a toll on my entire family." Like, you brought this on yourself, brother.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious?
Yeah. Now let's bring up something else here. Let's shift it locally, with Johnny Peralta. He is rumored in it.
Yeah, he is.
Now let's just look at this from a perspective outside of him just lying to the public, that if the Tigers win the World Series with Johnny Peralta still playing, because if there is a suspension, it wouldn't take place until 2014 with the appeal process. So there is a potential case where the Tigers win a World Series with Johnny Peralta.
Yeah, that, I mean, it just...
But at least he's not league MVP.
Right.
And, you know, it's a different thing. And most of the time when you get in trouble for stuff like this, it's because you do things like Ryan Braun did, where you deny it at all at every opportunity. You blame other people.
Sure.
You know, throw other people under the bus. It's just... I feel like in terms of public perception, it's all about taking responsibility. That's what people like really care about. Like, if you're a cheater and you own up to it, yeah, you're going to be in the doghouse for a few years. But sooner or later, you know, your kind of image is going to have a little rehab.
Yeah,
and you're going to be the player you once were, or at least get close to that level. But when you do stuff like this, I mean, you're just digging yourself a hole that I don't think he's going to get out of. I think he's a pariah.
He's done.
He's done.
And he's totally done. Ryan Braun is done. I tell you what, and so many athletes do. I mean, I can even bring up Marion Jones throughout her career when she was, you know, the world's fastest woman and you know, tearing it up on the track and field. And, you know, that people would bring up, you know, things about her possibly using it, and she would vehemently deny it. Hey, I've never taken this. I would never do that. This is against my morals. I am a clean athlete. I do it the natural way. Then all of a sudden, you know, stuff hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, she has the huge press conference, goes out there, tears are flowing. You know, I'm sorry, I regret this, blah, blah, blah. But like I said, when you look at steroids, it's frustrating because we know that it's never going to stop. It's one of those unfortunate things where you don't see a trend happening where athletes are going to say, okay, we're done. I'm going to do it the natural way. That's not going to happen. And these athletes know what they're doing out there. They just feel as though they're invincible and will never get caught. And I tell you what, right now, as I'm reading the investigation, the plan remains for the rest of the suspensions, if there are any more, which I'm sure there will be, the rest of the suspensions stemming from this biogenesis investigation with baseball. They're waiting until all the for Braun, the evidence was there, and they could come out right away. But they're trying to compile with the other players to compile all the evidence at once, and they want to announce all the suspensions at once. So there are definitely a lot of names out there. The evidence is being compiled. Like I said, Alex, you just brought it up with Peralta. Of course, A-Rod is on that list. I mean, countless amounts of players are on this list, and this could be one of the, if not the biggest, steroid scandal in baseball and or in sports history.
Yeah, and just back to Peralta being involved. We've seen records broken. We've seen Barry Bonds break home run records. We see a league MVP go out with a totally different extent and then lie about it for, you know, the last 2 years. So that's on a different level. But when was the last time you saw a team win a World Series? I'm not saying the Tigers are going to win. But if the Tigers do win the World Series with someone linked with PEDs, when was the last time a World Series team has a PED player on it? We already know how serious PEDs are with baseball. So if it's already so serious, for me, that's the drawing line, because the World Series is the end-all, be-all. That's what every player is going for. Mm-hmm. Sure, you have the record. Sure, you have the home runs, the MVPs. But everyone wants to win that World Series. And if the one end-all, be-all is tainted with that, I think that's the last straw.
But the difference there is that the World Series is for a team, and the MVP is right. An individual accolade. So it's not like, you know, you can point to that World Series ring, but it's not like you were the only guy doing it. And, you know, it's not like Peralta was the only guy contributing.
I agree with you. But right. What I'm saying is, do you think, I personally think that there's no doubt in my mind people will doubt the Tigers World Series because of Peralta. They will connect Peralta to the
World Series. Well, you'd also have to doubt the ones that have been won by teams that will have players who are going to come out on this list. I'm 100% sure that someone on that list has won a World Series in the last few years. So do you take all, you know, the last decade of baseball and just throw it out the window?
Right.
If you're talking about that,
no,
I mean,
I think if you look at the whole World Series, I think that won't be a big storyline. Regardless, if the Tigers do go on and win the World Series, and it comes out that Peralta was linked with steroids, the discussion about him being a part of the team when they won the World Series, I think that might be irrelevant. I don't think people will be talking about that. I still think people will just be talking about this. No, even if he did win a World Series, like I said, it's a team thing. It's not like one man can't win a World Series.
No, and
it
I
takes
agree,
a team.
And I totally
you know? Maybe
agree.
If he hits like a you know
if he's like a triple crown, if he's like Miguel Cabrera on that list, then okay.
Bottom of the ninth, two outs, he hits a grand slam to win the World Series. Then maybe we've got it. Then maybe that
right.
maybe that's you know. That's a big story, but, you know,
yeah.
I don't foresee that happening.
This is ridiculous, though, guys. I mean, when you look at this host, I mean, it's never going to end. Again, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, a man who is right now in rehab with the minor league baseball team. He is one of the big names on this list. And, you know, there's been talks, you know, little birdies have been talking, and A-Rod, his suspension could be worse than Ryan Braun's, if you know it comes out that he you know there's solid evidence, which there's talks that there is solid evidence concerning A-Rod that it could be harsher.
Now, so, if that does happen, what are the chances he retires?
Oh, 100%.
100%, Alex.
I think you have to give him the boot on that.
Right? 100%. Like who would sign him?
Yeah, I mean he's a constant headache.
Everyone
according
hates
to the
him.
Yankees. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds mean.
Yeah, everyone hates. Everyone hates Alex Rodriguez right now.
Or as Al would say, everybody and his mama.
Right.
Like,
and his mama.
Right? He is sitting alone in the lunchroom. You know, just
by himself.
Yep.
No friends at all. And you know he's out there in the minor leagues. Not really showing any signs of improvement, and it just came out about his quad now.
Yeah, he's done.
He's a walking hospital, and if this comes out about, you know, that he's using PEDs, this just adds to get away, A-Rod. So we want to hear your thoughts on this, though. A few of you have weighed in on this. Jamel Love says, quote, And we asked, what are your thoughts on Ryan Braun and the whole Biogenesis investigation? Jamel Love says, quote, "It shows that the game of baseball is tainted by PED use. It raises questions concerning the future of the sport. Can it ever be clean when players' paychecks are based off their performance?" Spencer Ray says, quote, "First of all, I don't think the punishment is enough. He should be suspended into next season. Second of all, when Ryan Braun stared at the camera earlier this year to reiterate how clean he was and when he was lying, he is extremely cocky. He knew he was off the hook for the time being. It's so disrespectful to his teammates, family, friends, and more importantly, the MLB. My final thought is that Ryan Braun won't be the only guy to be punished." And Jessica Ariel says, quote, "He shouldn't get paid. Take away his money and the MVP and give it to Matt Kemp instead."
That's good.
All right. Well, thank you for those comments. Again, you can go to facebook.com/currentsports and let your voice be heard, or call us right here at 517-355-9527. When we come back from this break, we will dive into the rest of our current sports section of the show and do a very quick top five Tuesday. On a lighter note, we want to just smile a little bit because this definitely has everyone in the sports world just a little bit down when you hear about stuff like this, especially in the game of baseball. All right, stick around. More current sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with David Gilbert about his new novel, Anne's Sons. At the center of the story is a reclusive novelist who, like Salinger, has a special place in the hearts of readers, especially those who read him when they were young. But the writer's sons don't feel that connection. Join us.
Right. That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished talking about the big story in sports, Ryan Braun, who has been suspended for the rest of the Major League Baseball season due to his use of PEDs. It just came out in the whole Biogenesis investigation. Again, you can let your voice be heard on this, calling us at 517-355-9527 or go to facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. All right, just to recap, other news in sports, the Detroit Tigers, Max Scherzer, he outpitched Chris Sale in a marquee matchup of all-star starters to earn his 14th victory, and the Tigers overcame an injury to Miguel Triple Crown Cabrera to beat the Chicago White Sox 7-3 last night. Now, Scherzer allowed 4 hits, no walks, and 2 earned runs in the eight innings. With 5 strikeouts, Scherzer's streak of 19 consecutive games with at least 6 strikeouts ended. It is the second longest such streak to begin a season in American League history. So Scherzer still producing. He's great. Now, with 1 out in the bottom of the 5th inning, Miguel Cabrera was replaced by third base by Don Kelly. Now, the 2012 AL MVP, who appeared to be holding his left side as he headed to the dugout, was removed with a sore hip flexor muscle and will be evaluated today. Now, Jim Leland, Detroit Tigers manager, said the Tigers are going to wait and see on Cabrera's condition. Now, Victor Martinez also had 4 hits to raise his July average to .425. My goodness. And Torii Hunter homered in the 7th for Detroit, which improved to 43-9 when scoring 5 or more runs. Leland said, quote, "It might be wishful thinking," talking about Detroit second baseman Omar Infante, who was out with a left ankle injury. But he's trying to see if he could be back by the weekend. So that would be wishful thinking. So you got Infante out. You got Cabrera out. Hopefully for Cabrera and Infante, is nothing too serious. Now, today's pitching matchup is Detroit's Rick Porcello against Chicago's Hector Santiago. All right, Von Miller, The Denver Broncos could lose their best defensive player for the start of the 2013 NFL season. All-Pro outside linebacker Von Miller is appealing a 4-game suspension for a violation of a league policy. The NFL Players Association confirmed it is assisting Miller in the appeal, which union spokesman George Atlas said it is not for performance-enhancing drugs, thank goodness. But the Denver Post, citing anonymous sources, reported that Miller tested positive for marijuana in 2011 during his rookie season. Now, under the NFL substance abuse policy, players who test positive for recreational or illegal prescription drugs are not suspended after the first positive test, but are punished for positive tests once in the league's drug program. He also tested positive for amphetamines during that period in 2011. So, but Miller says, quote, "I did nothing wrong. I know I did nothing wrong." I've heard this song before. This sounds like Ryan Braun. "I know I did nothing wrong." Quote, "I'm sure this will be resolved fairly." So I'm not saying Miller. I don't know if he, we'll see as time goes on, but I've heard this song before. We'll see. The Broncos, citing confidentiality laws, declined to comment. So Miller, again, he's the best defensive player on the Broncos. The number two overall pick in the 2011 draft, finished second in defensive MVP voting in 2012 after a season which he had 18 and a half sacks. And wow, he has had 30 sacks in the last two seasons. He's a very productive player. So we're not talking about just a player who's not productive at all. I mean, this could be a big blow for the Broncos. Now, if Miller's appeal is not successful, the Broncos will play the Ravens, New York Giants, Oakland Raiders, and Philadelphia Eagles without him to start the season. That could be a big loss. All right, this is a crazy story, too. Just craziness happening in sports. Ex-Oakland women's basketball coach Becky Francis, she was fired as the head women's basketball coach over at OU. And there are some pretty disturbing accounts made by, you know, multiple players. One in particular, Stacey Farrell. She's a former player of Coach Francis's. The account took place when she was an incoming freshman at Oakland University in the summer of 2011. Francis, once they came in, she gave a speech to the team saying, and Francis says she said she began talking about her church and invited all of them to attend services with her. She then returned to the subject of how her program operated. Now, according to Farrell, Francis said, quote, "We don't fraternize with the men's team. By the way, are you guys virgins? You guys are virgins, right? You haven't had sex, right?" End quote. Interesting stuff. Again, that's Becky Francis, now the ex-Oakland women's basketball coach. Now, the players were stunned once she made these accounts. Farrell says, quote, "We didn't say anything. We were all pretty much dumbfounded. At that point, you're 18 years old. Some of the girls were 17 at the time." Now, Farrell later learned from older players that Francis's remarks were a recurring message aimed at OU freshmen. Now, and the start of what players say was an obsession by the coach to control their lives on and off the court. Now, the older players' advice to the young players, they say, if anyone asks, you're a virgin. You are a Christian. You do not drink. You do not smoke. You do not talk to guys. You sit in your dorm room and study. And above all, you also watch what you eat. Wow. This is another discussion I want to get into as far as coaches. When is the line drawn between being overly controlling, not just on the court but off it as well? So Becky Francis, she has been fired as Oakland University's women's basketball coach. Wow. All right. And Brady Hoke, this is a great story. I love this. On a positive note, just get a smile on your face. Grant Reed, a 12-year-old Ohio State fan who named his cancer. He had cancer and named it Michigan. Yes, Michigan. That's what he named his cancer, saying he's going to beat this cancer. He was offered tickets to the upcoming Michigan versus Ohio State game this fall by Michigan head coach Brady Hoke. Now, Reed, who reportedly finished his chemotherapy treatment a few weeks ago, gladly accepted the offer to attend the game, and he was diagnosed less than 2 years ago. Reed named his cancer after his favorite team's arch rival with the intentions of beating it, and he has. That is such a great story. His dad says, quote, "It's getting hard to keep my dislike for them because they've been so classy and unbelievable to us. Now, Troy, his dad, he was a former member of the Buckeyes marching band. He also goes on to say, quote, but it won't be hard to cheer for the Buckeyes. So there's still that rivalry there, but that's just a great thing. Brady Hoke sending tickets to this kid who beat cancer, 12 years old, named his cancer Michigan. That's just great stuff. Moving on, Greg Oden, he will host three teams. Greg Oden, he's a center, a highly acclaimed center when he came out of college, but had constant injury problems, but he's trying to make his return to the NBA. He will host three teams this week as a former number one overall pick nears a decision where he'll launch his NBA comeback. Now, sources told ESPN yesterday that the Heat, New Orleans Pelicans, and Sacramento Kings will all send representatives this week to watch Oden work out in person. Now, Oden has played just 82 career games in the NBA after being selected by Portland with the top overall pick in the 2007 draft. He hasn't appeared in an NBA game since December 5th, 2009, due to numerous knee problems, and underwent his third microfracture knee surgery. Now, Miami has actually been considered as the leading contender, for Oden for months after Heat president Pat Riley hosted him for a two-day visit earlier this year. And Dwayne Wade, to end things, Dwayne Wade, he has finally reached a settlement with his ex-wife. Now, Dwayne Wade and his ex-wife, they have finally, you know, finalized this divorce after a long and sometimes public battle. Now, Wade will pay Savan Funches, his ex-wife, with whom he has two children, $5 million. $5 million, that's a lot of money. All right, and there is a non-disparage agreement in the settlement. Funches, she made bizarre headlines last week when she actually protested outside of a Chicago courthouse with a sign implying she was homeless because of a lack of support from Dwayne Wade. Now, the Heat star and Funches previously met in court in 2011 for custody of their two children, who now reside with Wade. And Funches was arrested last year on misdemeanor charges of attempted child abduction, unlawful visitation interference, and obstruction of a peace officer after an incident related to visitation. So, goodness gracious, Dwayne, I'm glad you're done with that girl right there. That's crazy, man. That might have been affecting more in the court, maybe. I'm thinking about things now. All right, guys. Top five Tuesdays now after all of that crazy news in the world of sports.
Wild.
Wild news, man. All right, top five Tuesday. On today's top five Tuesday, we're going to list the top five greatest sports commercials and ads of all time. This should be fun. Alex, kick it off, man.
Okay, first off, I've got There Can Only Be One from the NBA. If you remember, they had I think it was Kevin Garnett with, I think it was, they had two players mash up their faces, and they're talking about, how, you know, they're fighting for the title. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I do not remember that one. You remember
that
one?
NBA playoffs commercials?
NBA playoffs. I think they're NBA playoffs.
I think I know what you're talking
about. They would mash up half of LeBron and half of Garnett and combine them. And this actually sparked a huge thing. People started to do YouTube videos with it.
Right.
Combine political figures in the world with it. So it was pretty big. Number four, I have This Is SportsCenter, the one with Steve Irwin, when he tackles the Florida Gator because he thinks it's an actual Gator. That was just funny because, one, it's before he passed away, unfortunately. Two, that just brought the whole community in. I thought it was just a very well-done advertisement.
That was funny.
Three, I have the Mannings This Is SportsCenter with, the sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
Two, the LeBron James Powerade ad where he shoots full-court shots.
I have that in my list, too.
Draining after draining. Number one, we actually don't have enough time, but we're not going to play it, but I have Uncle Drew from Pepsi Max. If you have not seen it, go to YouTube. There's two parts, one with Kyrie Irving, the other with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving both. But this just talks about Kyrie Irving transforming himself into an old man, and then he goes out to just
pick up basketball
court in New Jersey, pretends like he's a horrible player and he's like an old man, and then just schools everybody. It's great. YouTube it. Check it out.
That is a great list. Great list. Matt, what you got, man?
Those are great. That's a great list. And the Uncle Drew videos are very hilarious. Entertaining.
Yeah. I think Hannah Saunders actually, and she tweeted me on this too, man. I felt great that day. I was like, Hannah, great job, because she did a piece on Kyrie Irving and all of the elite point guards in the NBA, and she did a piece on Kyrie, and they actually talked about the Uncle Drew and how he gets dressed up and goes out there. It's great. If you haven't seen that, YouTube, Hannah Saunders, Kyrie Irving. That's great stuff too.
All right,
go ahead.
All righty. Number five, it's a tie, which I know is dumb because, you know, you only have five. But it's Terry Tate, office linebacker, classic ads.
Oh my, I forgot about that.
He just comes out of
nowhere
and just lays people out for, you know, eating cake that was labeled or, you know, doing, you know, making too many copies, stuff like that. And then he's tied with Kenny Powers doing ads for K-Swiss. I love fictional athletes and, you know, bringing a certain amount of cool to K-Swiss, I think, is easier said than done. And he did that. Number four, I have MJ versus Bird. They're playing horse, I believe, or just shoot till you miss. First, or whoever misses first loses and has to watch the other eat a Big Mac. So that was old school McDonald's ad. Yeah. Number three, Gatorade, MJ versus MJ. 38-year-old MJ with the Wizards versus a 23-year-old MJ with the Bulls.
That's great.
Better CGI than the Tron sequel with Jeff Bridges looking all young. Right. Number two, Yao Ming, the Yao commercial.
That's great.
For the,
I believe it's
Visa. Yeah, that's, I mean,
that's,
you know,
great.
The globalization of the NBA, Yao Ming was a big part of that, and that ad was a big part of that.
Definitely.
And then number one, this is kind of a cheat, but I just have the entire This Is SportsCenter campaign. They are hilarious.
They are.
Consistently entertaining, and I feel like that's more watchable than actual SportsCenter is nowadays. Like, I would rather just watch 20
really
minutes
good.
Of ads. They're great.
All of those This Is SportsCenters are just really hilarious. They're clever. They're catchy. I love them, man. All right, for me, and no order, I didn't do any, you know, I didn't listen because I love all of these, to tell you the truth. I also have two honorable mentions as well. But all right, just getting to the list. Alex, you hit on the LeBron James 90-foot jumpers. I mean, those, that, it looks so real. If you go and look at that and YouTube that commercial, it looks like he's really just pulling up with ease and hitting 90-foot jumpers.
Casual.
Great
casual
stuff.
Just 90 footers. Yeah.
It's hilarious. Jordan versus Jordan. Of course, that was a classic when you got, you know, you talked about that, Matt, when you got old school Jordan versus new school Jordan. Tiger Woods, he did an ad for Nike where he's just kind of just bouncing the ball, which he can't really do in real life, which is cool about it too. But he's just bouncing the ball off his iron and then he, you know, pops it up and smacks it. I thought that was just classic, man. That just, because when I saw him, like, is he really doing that? And then he really did it as they're like rehearsing. I'm like, okay, that's just sick. That's crazy. So I thought that was a great one. Like Mike, I mean, how can you have these are Jordan? Because Jordan just transcended just sports when it comes to ads, man. But the Like Mike Gatorade commercial and the song, which we definitely will play that tomorrow for you. Jordan versus Bird, the horse battle, as you just talked about, Matt, as they're battling and, you know, he has to watch Bird or Jordan. Who won it? I think did Bird win it?
I don't know who wins it.
I don't know.
It's like a series of commercials.
It is. It definitely is. Okay, but yeah, that's a great one. Honorable mention, Bo Knows.
Great.
Great stuff. And, of course, Terry Tate. Terry Tate, that's hilarious stuff, too. All right, well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Dr. Joe Parent for coming on and talking about his book, How to Make Every Putt, The Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Be easy, people.